Good morning. Today we are continuing our reflection on the case of God in Isaiah chapter 1. We will pick up at verse 11. In this verse, God is making the point that yes, they're offering their sacrifices. Yes, they're giving worship. What is the purpose of it? God asks. Their sacrifice no longer had any purpose, any meaning. He says in his word that he has had enough. God is saying that he has no more need of their sacrifices. Even the solemn meeting, God has now reached a point where he no longer wants their sacrifices that they come to the temple to offer. Even when they stretch their hands out in prayers, God will not listen. He said their hands are full of blood. Have our worship become noise in the ears of God? Even our church services? Is God refusing our worship? Do we go to church Sunday after Sunday, but no answers to our prayers? Has God begun to hate our worship? Have they become a bother to him? Has God gotten weary of them because we refuse to repent and turn from our ways? 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very familiar passage. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What is it that God requires of us? He requires repentance. In verse 16, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes to cease to do evil. Many times we preach repentance to sinners, but God was speaking to his people to put away evil, to wash themselves, to stop doing evil. Do we as the people of God need to put away evil from among ourselves? Do we need to stop doing evil? He not only wants them to put away evil, to repent, but he wants them to begin to do good. We are told by Paul that we are saved unto good works. Church, how is our ministry? Do we seek justice in the land? Do we speak out on the ills in society? We need some John the Baptist who will speak out about injustice in our land, injustice in our church. How is our ministry to the oppressed, the downtrodden? Do we defend the rights of the fatherless and plead the cause of the widows? Matthew 25, 36 to 40 tells us, for I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, he have done it unto me. So here was God speaking to his people. He not only wanted them to repent, he not only wanted them to turn away from evil, but he also wanted them to engage in doing good, championing the cause of the depressed, the oppressed, the downtrodden. But even in light of their condition, God gives them an invitation. In verse 18 to 20, we hear God saying to his people, even in their sinful condition, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins stains you like the color red, he wants to wash us, to till we are white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. What a God that even though we rebel, even though we are so sinful, He extends His grace, mercy, and love. Even though we have gone so far in sin, He still invites us to come. John says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1 7 says, in Him, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And then in Acts, we find Paul saying in Acts 3 verse 19, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Isaiah 43 25 says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He not only tells them to come, but He tells them what will happen if they are obedient. They will be blessed, and they will eat the good of the land. But if not, they will be devoured by the sword, meaning death. God was setting before them again, blessing and cursing, life and death, and they needed to make a choice. Is God giving us a choice today? Is God putting a choice before us today? The question, which choice will you make? Will you choose blessing or will you choose cursing? Will you choose life or will you choose death? Verse 20 ends with, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. Isaiah and God wanted to reinforce that when He says something, it is so. He wanted us to remember that He is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Whatever He says, it must come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of His word will ever fail. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Isaiah 55:11 says, my word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper where I send it. God continues in His case, His trial, as He puts the people of God on trial. He says how the faithful city has become a whore. The faithful city is Jerusalem, the city once known for its faithfulness to the Lord. But now Jerusalem has become a harlot, a whore, spiritually speaking. They have forsaken their marriage to the Lord and are now committing spiritual adultery with their idolatry. Jerusalem used to be filled with justice and righteousness, but those days were long past. Note the words used in the scriptures. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Certainly we can say that Jerusalem mirrors or reflects what now exists in our country. Innocent lives have been taken and still is being taken. Certainly God is taking notice of what is going on, just as He did with Jerusalem. But He's calling us. He says, come, let us reason together. Let us have a talk. Let's trash this thing out. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. For though our sins are scarlet, He wants to wash them white as snow. Will you allow Him to wash us? Will you allow Him to clean us up? Join us next week as we conclude the case of God.